Good morning. Hope you're doing great. Hope you're having a phenomenal morning so far. And we're having a great time of worship. I want to thank the singers that we do every week for doing a phenomenal job with that. And also, as always, thank you, Ajemily. Thank you, Jacqueline, for the hard work you do on these videos. My name is Frank Davis. I'm the senior pastor of Haven Rock. And we're going to preach the word right now, okay? Let's pray before we continue forward. Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for allowing us to be here this morning. Thank you for protecting our households and watching over us. I pray that you open wide our hearts to your message this morning. And I pray too to God that the Spirit moves through me so that the words that are said are not my words, but every single word is your word. Father, we pray all this in your name and through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, amen, and amen. All right, let's cut right down to it. It's crazy out there. It's crazy out there on those streets. COVID-19 has been messing with us for a while, and all the uncertainty and all the fear and all the anxiety, it's still there. And though things are opening up, it just allows more anxiety, right? And maybe that's just me. And then on top of that, we have all the unrest since the George Floyd murder. And the protest and against social injustice and racism that have broken out all over the country, the reaction by local governments and the federal government to that, and then people who are taking advantage of all this to loot and do illegal things. There's just a lot going on right now, right? And if you're like me, those things outside, they weigh heavy inside too. The pressure of COVID, an uncertainty of COVID, the heartbreak of witnessing what happened to George Floyd on the heels of Breonna Taylor's death and Ahmaud Arbery's death and so many deaths. Man, all the emotions that come with the open and public discussion of racism in America, which is long overdue, by the way. I'm glad it's happening, but it is emotional. It wears me out. And I've been blessed to be able to be on some panels for some different churches, and that's been great. If you get a chance to check them out, please do. I think there's some good information there. But it's tough. There's a lot of emotions, and a lot of people don't understand what Black Lives Matter is about, or what this discussion is about. Now there's a movement to tear down statues, and NASCAR's banning the Confederate flag, which, don't get me started on that one, right? That's a whole discussion that we're not going to have this Sunday morning. I'm just here to say it's a lot. And it's crazy. And it stirs up a whole lot of emotions. And I'm not one to think that God's church should try to be in a bubble and pretend the rest of the world's not happening. Man, we're God's people. We've got to be the light and salt of the earth, which means in a righteous way, it's okay and even mandatory to be involved, especially when it's moral issues and not political issues. Look, I don't want the church to be in the middle of politics. We're part of the kingdom of God, the nation of God, right? That's not where we need to live. But when it comes to moral issues, we have to let our voices be heard. But we got to make sure that our voice and our spirit and our passion is the voice and spirit of God and not from us. And so I want to talk about something which I think applies at any time. Right? But especially right now. I want to talk about one of the great powers in the universe. It's a great power at our disposal. And that's having a sincere love. Sincere love. That's the topic today. You know, sincere love, we know what that looks like, I think, if we think about it. You know, as a parent, any parents out there, raise your hand if you're a parent. And your kids are small. They're so cute when they're small. I mean, there's nothing like seeing a little baby sleep. They're so peaceful and cute and wonderful. You want to pinch their little cheeks, but you don't want to pinch them because then they wake up. And they're not so cute when they wake up and they're howling and screaming. Okay. But you have your little babies. And you know what's really cool when your kids are young? When they go and they give you a spontaneous hug. And they hug with the whole body. It's like, they don't hug like adults hug, right? They hug from the soul, man. They hug you, and there's nothing more amazing and marvelous than that full body hug from your child. Even the hardest dude in the world is melted in the arms of that beautiful, sincere, wholehearted, unconditional love from your child. It is amazing, man. But they get just a little bit older and a little bit smarter. Sometimes they give you a hug that's sort of like their hug. And they'll say, "Mommy, Daddy, you're the greatest daddy and mommy in the whole wide world." But this time is not about their wholehearted, sincere love. This time is about what they want. So the next thing is, "Can I have a lollipop?" Or they get a little bit older. "Daddy, mommy, you're the best in the whole wide world. May I have $10? Or they get, it's the hug, it's that kiss, it's the compliment. It's not sincere. "You want something from me." And after a while, they figure which parent to go to for it, because you always have one parent that's a softie. You know who you are, right? And they'll hug up on that parent, and they'll gas them up, and then they'll ask for it, right? That's not, see that big, that full body love, that's that sincere love, and that manipulative love, that's not the sincere love, right? That's not what we want to see, right? And so we know the difference between sincere love and insincere love. Well, what's that have to do with what we're talking about today? I'm glad you asked. What it has to do is that sometimes with God, with the children of God, sometimes we've got that full, wholehearted love for Him that we give all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And sometimes our love for God is insincere. And we just go on to God because we want something, right? It's not that sincere love. And God is calling us to have sincere love for Him. And because we have that love for Him, to have sincere love for each other and for this world. And that's a power that we have as God's church that we desperately need during these times, and this world that we live in desperately needs. Does that make sense? Okay, there are a couple of ingredients to sincere love. And the first ingredient we're going to talk about this morning is passion. Passion. Let's go ahead and read in Romans chapter 12. Romans 12 verse 9 simply says this: "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality." He says, God, look, the world talks about love, but they don't really mean it. Religion talks about love, but they don't know how. In God's church, where it's about relationship, not religion, love must be sincere. Can't just be a bumper sticker. Can't just be a model. Just can't be an intention, that we intend to be loved. It's got to be real. It's got to be real love. Your love for me has got to be real. You got to deal with hate. You got to hate what's evil, because if you have sincere love for me, you're not just going to talk about loving me and talk about doing things that please me because you love me. You're going to hate what's evil and cling to what's good because your love is what's sincere. And that obedience doesn't come from legalism and I want to be perfect. It just comes from that you love me, so you're going to make every effort to please me. Let your love be sincere. That sincere love is going to make you honor one another above yourselves. It's going to make you be faithful during hard times. It's got to be real, not just theoretical. It's got to be real. And it can't be this thing, like a lot of times we talk about love and the church being loving, we'll get the spirit of, yeah, people need to love me more. I call people, they don't call me. I reach out to people, who reaches out to me? When so-and-so was sick, I made a meal for them. I was sick last week, who made a meal for me? Okay, hold on. Let's back it on up. This kind of love isn't about pointing the finger outward at what people aren't doing. That's what's happening now. I'm glad we're talking about racism as a society. But it's too easy to point the fingers outward and not inward. It's too easy to talk about what people aren't doing and rather than, first of all, dealing with what I'm not doing and what the people in my circle aren't doing and what we could do better to be more like Christ. Doesn't mean we don't address social ills, but I can't be so busy talking outward that I don't deal with the inward, right? Okay. Love must be sincere. Man, this kind of love that he's talking about, that's putting your beliefs into practice, really no matter what, and being faithful through it and working, even when you have a hard day, even when people aren't loving you, even when the world hits you, that you're gonna be loving this way. This kind of love, it takes energy, a whole lot of energy. It takes effort. Like, this is an action word, not an intention word. Right? This isn't what I was thinking about you. No, this is acting out that love. It takes devotion. It takes a devotion where I'm going to fight through arguments and fight through disappointments and fight through the times that we let each other down, because as people, even in the church, we let each other down. I'm going to fight through that, and I'm going to love you with sincere love anyway, because Christ loves me sincerely, even when I blow it. I blow it a lot. I major in blowing. I got a PhD in blowing it. I'm going to have that sincere outward love, right? I'm going to let you in on a secret. That kind of love takes supernatural power. Because I'm not wired to love that way, man. I'm selfish. I don't know about you. I am selfish, man. I'm so selfish. And I'm petty. Boy, I'm petty. I am the king of petty. Man, I just am. And I'm small-minded and small-hearted. And I want to know what people have done for me. I want something back. And I've got to be tapped into Christ. I've got to be on my knees praying in my Bible, being filled up with the supernatural power of Christ if I'm going to love this way. You know, Sean Colosimo loves to fast. Now, he may say otherwise, but if we're talking, you know, as friends or as a leadership group about an issue, you know, we're talking about things. Sean's going to bring up fasting, and we all hate him for it, okay? I mean, I love Sean, but I hate him for it because I don't like fasting. I know I need to do it. It's great to do it. But, man, Sean, I said, man, we got to talk about this issue. And Sean said, you know what we should do? And we're like, oh, no, we need to fast. And I'm like, okay, we're going to fast. How do you say no to fasting, right? So we're like, curse you, Sean. We got to fast again, right? See, I'm on the spiritual, but it's a good thing, right? And when you fast, yes, you know, you fast food, and you go a day or two, whatever you go, you get hungry. But for me, I can deal with the hunger. After I haven't eaten in a while, though, I get tired. I just get lethargic. I don't know about you, but that's the biggest challenge I have when I fast. And fasting's a good thing, by the way. It has great spiritual benefits, but I get tired, physically tired. And so if you try to run 5 miles and you haven't eaten in a couple of days, you're not going to have a peak performance, right? The longer you go without eating, the worse your performance is going to be, because food is fuel. In the same way, if we're not feasting in prayer and feasting in the Bible and feasting, man, in our relationships with one another, it's hard. You go to have sincere love when it's difficult, and it's like the tank is empty. There's no gas in the car. It takes supernatural power to have sincere love. So how's it going with your sincere love for God and other people? If you find that it's falling short, or you know that you're not able to give the way God expects, or you're grumpy about who's not giving to you, and you give and give, no one's giving back, then my next question is, are you low on fuel? Because if you are, we got to make sure that we tap into the Holy Spirit and the supernatural power of God so that we can give and love the way God wants us to give and love with that sincere love. It takes passion and energy and effort and devotion. So the first part of sincere love is that passion, that energy to be consistent in loving this way. That makes sense? Next part is empathy. So that sincere love has passion, but it also has empathy. What do I mean? Let's keep on reading verse 14. It says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. He says, look, bless those who persecute you. We'll talk about that more in a second. He says, man, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. In other words, man, just don't listen. It's like someone gives you bad news. I had a hard day or I lost someone. You say, man, that's too bad. No, you gotta mourn with them. You gotta listen not with your ears, but listen with your heart. Man, if someone has a good thing happen, don't think about yourself, oh man, Jessica got some money. Why don't I be getting any money? Okay, good for you. But man, I'm mad. Oh man, Patrice had this victory. Where are my victories? So-and-so got engaged. When am I getting engaged? No. We have to have the ability, if we love sincerely, to rejoice with those who rejoice. To celebrate with those who are celebrating, not to be petty, not to be all about ourselves, but because we sincerely love that person, to rejoice with them. And God's got your back. God has given you victories, He'll give you more victories. Don't make that about you. That's what divides. Mourning with those who mourn. And rejoicing with those who rejoice, that's how we come together, right? Don't be that petty friend. Don't be that friend. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. You know, that's what the world's missing right now. That's what makes the isms such dangerous sins. You know, sexism, nepotism, favoritism, racism. These sins are these heart sins that they destroy lives. And they're difficult when you're the one committing the sin or engaging the sin to see, right? But empathy, listening with your heart, allows us to bridge that gap. And mourning with those who mourn, as people share their experience and their hurt and their pain, our sincere Holy Spirit-induced love allows us to mourn with them. To be heartbroken with them. And it bridges divides of color and class and race like nothing else in the world. Look, I'm not saying that it's wrong to fight for new legislation. But I tell you what, you can't change the heart through laws. And changing laws does some good, so let's fight to change the ones that need to be changed. I'm not saying that. Reforming police departments, whatever we need to reform, it does some good, right? But at the end of the day, only God can change the heart. And that Holy Spirit power to mourn together and to rejoice together will change us, change the church, and change the world. That's that sincere love. It is passionate. There's empathy. And you know what else there is? There's grace. There's grace. Let's keep on reading. Romans 12, verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Sincere love has passion, has empathy, but you know what else? It has grace. It has grace, the ability to forgive. You know, love doesn't work without forgiveness. Because I tell you what, if we have a relationship, you're going to screw up. And give me reason not to be your friend. if we're close, I'm going to mess up for sure and give you reason not to be my friend. If you're in marriage, your husband's going to mess up every day and give you reason to walk out that door. And your wife's going to mess up occasionally and give you reason to walk out the door. Without grace, it's impossible to make things work. In our society, one of the biggest struggles, people don't have grace for each other. Everyone wants it. Everyone wants to be forgiven and loved. And when they mess up, but we are slow to forgive and easy to become angry when it's us. And there's some serious issues being talked about. I'm not trying to minimize that. But returning anger for anger and hate for hate, it doesn't fix anything. It makes you blind to things. Can we talk for a second about some real stuff? Just so you know, this passage is very personal to me. Anger, hatred, is something that I struggle with for a good portion of my life. Anger about social injustice, anger about racism, hatred to my own dad, who I felt like abandoned me when I was 8 and never really was a father to me. It's so much anger. Look, when I was 5, 6 years old, my dad was shot 3 times by a police officer. He was a doctor who owned his own practice. Called 911. They showed up and shot him because they saw a black man on the premises. That's one of my first realities of the racism, systemic racism in our society. I got my name Frank from my uncle, who was a civil rights leader in the 60s. I mean, I was working civil rights campaigns when I was 8, 9, 10 years old, organized marches through college and protests. I understand social injustice and racism, dealt with racism even in the workplace for a good portion of my 30-something career as a minister. Systemic racism, I have story after story after story. It's wrong and it's evil. And for a good portion of my life, I let that anger eat me. That's not God's way. I'm not saying to overlook evil. What I am saying is that anger is not the answer. It wasn't the answer in my personal life. I had to learn to forgive my dad in order to move on as a person, because it pleased God, but also the only person my anger was hurting was me. And I also had to learn to fight injustice and racial sin in a righteous way. And that no matter what my truth is, it has to be laced with grace and love. Right now, a lot of us are in a lot of conversations with friends, with coworkers, with brothers and sisters about these issues. And all I'm saying is speak the truth in love and make sure your words are seasoned with grace. We need grace every day in every situation, because there's power in it. And that's the power of sincere love. And the ability to forgive and to get out of our own way allows us to see both sides of so many issues. And the truth is, in the world, in our sinful nature, we just can't. But because we have a God of grace and a God of empathy and a God who loves us passionately, when we rely on the Spirit and not on our flesh, we also have grace and empathy and passion and the ability to forgive and to see multiple sides of an issue, multiple sides of a discussion, and to give much grace. Look, everybody doesn't repent of sin at the same pace. It's still sin, it's still wrong, but they need grace till they get there. Look, you, the things in your life that you blow and you keep blowing, and God is patient with you and gives you grace. We have got to be willing to extend grace. That doesn't mean you hold back truth. It doesn't mean you don't point out evil when you see it. But there's got to be the ability to have compassion and grace, because we need so much grace in our own lives. We don't need more judgment. This world is quick to judge and quick to condemn. We need more love. And that's the gift that we can give to one another. That's the gift that we need from God and each other And that's the gift that we can bring to any conversation, especially during this time. As people struggle with COVID, they struggle with all the racism and the talk of racism, we can bring passionate love and empathy and grace to a conversation added with the truth that we speak. And our love can be sincere. And this is a world that's desperately calling out for that love. Through God's grace, through our dependence on the Holy Spirit, let's be vessels of that love and that grace. To God be the glory. Amen. That concludes the message today. I hope you find it helpful, and let's be loving to one another. We have our small groups today, so get in a small group, and let's talk about this message and what else is going on in our lives right now. If you don't know about the groups or don't know what group you're in, feel free to email us, text us, and we'll get back to you and let you know about the groups and hook you up with a group so you can be in one too. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll join our small groups and take communion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for your love and for your grace, for your compassion. Thank you for all the things you do and have done for us. Help us to be people who please you and to love sincerely. God, I know I need that kind of love. Help me to give that love to other people. Heavenly Father, dear God, we pray for those who are sick right now. We pray for always for Ori Mack and for Walter Martin, for Jerry Shepherd, dear God, that you were with Ms. Marina, her health, with my daughter Jacqueline Davis, that you miraculously impact her health. Be with my health. And as I struggle with it, you know the struggles I have. Give me your supernatural strength. Dear God, protect us. Protect us from COVID-19. Protect us from illness, dear God. Help us to be strong. Protect those right now hurting financially, to God, who are still suffering, to God. Help your grace and your mercy to protect them. To God, watch over your people. To God, thank you for Ethan becoming our brother in Christ. Thank you, God, so much for Nicole becoming our sister in Christ. And thank you for Stephen Payne, to God, becoming our brother in Christ. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your compassion. Help us to be vessels of your grace. Help us to be seeking and saving the lost. Help us to be about your mission, dear God, as we go and as we live. Father, we pray all this in your name and through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you. Talk to you soon.